I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It's Luke, the second chapter, verses 41 through 52. Hear the word of the Lord. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. And when the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in a group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, I'll admit it. I have a look that will freeze water, melt precious metal, and clear a room in 10 seconds or less. The problem is I don't know what the look looks like. I think it has something to do with my eyes. I'm not really for sure. But my kids know it. They leave quick. Michael knows it. He learned a long time ago not to argue with it. Some of you may have seen it. I hope not many. And my mother? Well, I'm almost certain that the look was probably the underlying cause of many of our lively discussions as I grew up. Because just as I was making a good adolescent point, she would stick out her mother finger and say in her best mother voice, "Watch it, young lady, or your face is going to freeze like that." That would make me so mad. I mean, yeah, right, Mom. Like, my face is going to freeze? Sure. But you know what? She was right. Oh, our faces don't really freeze. But by the time we're 20 or 30, they do begin to reflect what we're really thinking. What's really going on inside of us. You know, it's no secret that we live in a society that worships youth and devalues aged. But as far as I'm concerned, one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a face that is filled with lines created by years of laughter. Faces that have been softened by years of love. You know, to gaze upon the weather-beaten face of a farmer, or to look at a grandparent who's watching his or her grandchildren play, it's so beautiful. It's so holy. And there are faces that you can pick out in a crowd that are just like that. But then there are other faces. They're the faces that have the hard lines of years of just being angry and disappointed at the world. These are the hard, set faces that have eyes that seem to peer through you rather than to look at you. There are those faces who have set thin lines for mouths and jaws that are so set you wonder how they can open their mouths. And I look at those faces and I wonder what's going on in your heart. What has happened? And then I look at myself. In those moments when I want to be angry, when no one can please me, and I wonder, what look do I have? And could my mom be right? Could my face freeze like that? You know, we live in a society that gives mouth service to the people who are kind and gentle. But then we tell people that they have to toughen up. Fight for what's yours. Is it any reason that we're confused? If you're too gentle, people will just run over you. You can't let them do that. No, this isn't a 21st century phenomenon, though. One of the hardest things that God ever did to us was put us in groups. Tell us to be a family. Turn us into a congregation and say, play nice. I have something to tell you, it hasn't worked from the very beginning. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Trust me, he didn't write it because he felt like they were spending too much time holding hands and singing kumbaya. Factions were developing. Fights were breaking out. People were taking sides. And Paul got the news that things were really crumbling fast and something had to be done. According to Kenneth Sheestead, what was going on in that church was not just simple conflict. He said it was about what to do when bare-knuckled emotional brawls break out. The Church of Jesus Christ? Bare-knuckled brawls? Does that sound holy to you? Well, friends, The one thing Jesus never said was that this thing of being Christian and learning to live together was going to be easy. I mean, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, binding ourselves together, loving our enemies. This is not stuff for the faint-hearted or the half-committed. The only way that we can develop such a pattern is to allow the Word of God to live within us. And if the Word of God lives within us, then the kingdom of God can be established through us. But that means that we have to be willing to forgive when we don't feel like it. We have to love in place of retaliating. We have to be willing to walk and to work together in place of running out ahead of each other. And we have to be willing to pray for one another in place of plotting against those who we feel are out to hurt us. It's not easy stuff. This thing of living together, of letting Christ be in our midst, it's almost like a cruel joke sometimes, isn't it? And no, we just can't play act either. Anyone who attempts to be compassionate, kind, meek, patient, or loving just because they think that's the way they ought to be are doomed for failure. As one theologian noted, you can wear a mask for a time. You can even wear a mask for years upon years. But eventually, your true self will be seen for what it is. There's only one way to develop a beautiful face, and that's to allow the Word of God to dwell within you, to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And then she says, you will probably, to your surprise, find that you really are clothed with love, with hope, and with peace. And all these things bind us together in perfect harmony. You know, as the new year begins, it is my prayer that we will covet with one another and with God to allow the Word of Christ to come and dwell within each one of us. And may He be the one to determine our actions and our reactions so that all we do and say is filled with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love. And who knows? Maybe our faces will freeze like that, and our lives will become the gift that keeps on giving. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen. Last night, I had a very holy moment. Let's just say getting people into the Saturday service was a real trick. It took several of us, and they stayed very good-humored about it all. One of them asked me if I was going to learn how to part water. I told her I'd go home and read the instructions. And then the service ended, and I was standing there, and I was looking out over the people who had gathered. And I can tell you they were the most beautiful faces I had ever seen. They were lined and they were creased and they were wrinkled. Many of them have difficulty hearing. Mobility is an issue. And yet there they sat. Their eyes were glowing. They were smiling. They were loving one another in a way that I could only envy. To be in the midst of the holy is a wonderful place to be. As people look at us, who do they see? Do they see the holy? Do they see someone who's willing to listen and to love? Now just remember, Mama's right. Your face is going to freeze somehow. Why not make it in love? Go in peace, and may the love of Jesus Christ be with you all. Go to serve in Christ's kingdom. Amen.